Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove. They come out this Friday, and every Friday they have an all-new music happy hour going on. 10% off any purchase, free beer from Four Hands Brewery, and live vinyl spinning. And of course, new vinyl in store from... they have reissues from Peter Gabriel, Madonna, Dave Matthews' Crash, his first-time vinyl print 20th anniversary edition. So come out and grab a copy of that. And then on Sunday, July 17th, come out and see friend of the show, Carson Mann of the Scandaleros, doing a live in-store Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. More listings for records and events and everything. You can follow them online at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Yo, what's up? This is ATG from Discrepancies, and I'm here to let you know about a huge show that we've got coming up on August 6th at Pops. $8 will get you in the door, and it's going to be us versus Inner Outlines as a dual CD release show slash battle royale. We're going to be playing with our friends Ashlyn, our friends Apollo's daughter, and our friends with Forgetting January. So make sure you come out and have a great time with us. We're all going to be there and having a great night.
He's not me.
Hi, I'm Elliot from Search Parties, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, real quick, I want to say thanks for all the love and support recently. Everybody's everybody that's been listening and continuing to tell friends. Check it all out on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play app, and then rockpaperpodcast.com. With all that out of the way, this evening I'm hanging out here with the guys of Search Parties. Welcome
to
the show, guys.
Thank you.
You probably guess, go ahead and everybody introduce yourselves.
My name's Elliot. I sing and play guitar.
My name's Danny. I play guitar.
I'm also Danny and play guitar.
Oh, we know. I'm Alex. I play drums.
Oops. It's kind of been a while in the making. I've been kind of following you guys for a while. We got a lot of mutual friends and things, and
yeah.
And so I'm glad it finally made it happen.
Yeah, for sure.
So thanks for having me over. A lot of what these shows, you know, I try to just sit down and talk to the bands, get to know them a little better, and we plug some dates and play some songs and all that fun stuff. So I don't really know a lot about you guys, so where do we start? When did this band form?
Been a band for about three years.
Yeah.
Alex and I were in another band before, and we used to play with a band that Danny, Chris, and Dylan, who are not here. Danny's here. we're also in our bands and play with each other all the time. And then those bands broke up. I was actually in a like heavy metal band with Chris. So I knew him from that. And I wanted to start getting something going, and me and Alex started playing around, and then I ended up just hitting up the three of them, and that's where we are.
Yeah. Cool, man. Two of the guys were unable to make it this evening, so
yeah.
But we jammed a couple of acoustic tunes that we'll throw in here. Those sound real good. But yeah, you guys always been right around here in St. Louis, then, right? Everybody from St. Louis or
no, actually.
I'm from probably like the furthest out.
All right.
Yeah,
it
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm from like East Dalton, Illinois.
Yeah, a lot of the show, I mean, like, I not strictly, you know, like St. Louis city limits. I always kind of refer to like, because we have, you know, obviously
Belleville, and I got friends down in like Cuba, Missouri that drive up to play up here in St. Louis all the time. So I consider them part of the St. Louis music scene and stuff. And so there's people coming from quite a ways out that are involved in our community here. But so anyway, I just kind of the backbone of the show is focus on St. Louis music, obviously. Yeah, but but I'm always open to supporting anybody, really, you know, like a national, regional, and so on. So, what kind of early influences on you guys? Who wants to get you guys getting playing guitar and drums and
like initially?
Sure.
My dad was a huge fan of like Steely Dan, so that was like a big influence.
Yeah.
My dad actually, I only got a guitar because.
Couldn't find a bass?
No, we were supposed to. My dad plays keyboards, and he's a great piano player. And I guess I just didn't want to take piano lessons when I was a kid. Yeah, that is his, that 70s Rhodes.
Yeah.
Sitting in the corner there.
Not plugged in.
It functions, though.
It works.
I guess I was in, like, fifth grade, and my brother was going into, like, the school band. So then we went to this music shop, and I didn't have any interest in being in a school band. My dad's also a trumpet player, so my brother was playing the trumpet in like elementary school and stuff. And there's one day I just said, "Hey, Dad, buy me this guitar," and he just did.
Yeah.
And he
overpaid. Really wrapped around your finger.
He overpaid. That guitar is a piece of crap.
Buy this guitar now.
It wasn't that intense. I think I was probably being a little shit about it, probably. Until he actually did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
I guess it worked out.
That's it for me. I don't know.
Oh, for me, I guess, I got my first drum set when I was, I believe, in about fifth grade. Never learned how to play it. Decided I wanted to get drums. So my mom sold my guitar to buy me drums. My dad was not very happy about that situation because she didn't really let him know. Never learned how to play guitar, clearly, because I'm here now. Then got another drum set, and it's,
she bought that without your dad's permission.
Yeah. That happened.
That pissed me off.
Yeah. But I figured out how to play.
Just a little kid, just...
Yeah, just beating on shit. Oh, I'm still just a little kid, just beating on shit.
Now, like, way more ways than that.
It explains a lot, actually.
People come out, though, so.
It's fine.
Danny, same question.
I guess, where did my first guitar come from? My brother had a guitar, and I would steal it from him and play it all the time.
How do I know that you stole it? I just felt it. I thought you stole your first guitar.
I didn't steal it. I borrowed it often.
Unknowingly.
Yeah. But I ended up being better than him at it, so I pretty much just...
Whoa.
You just kept it?
Yeah, I just did.
This isn't yours anymore.
More or less. I don't know. I listened to, like, Neil Young and David Bowie, guys like that growing up, so
sure.
I guess that's where my influence initially came from.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you guys like describe that? You guys I guess are more indie rock, I guess, now, like, is this?
I'm terrible at that question.
Yeah. I really don't like it.
I've been telling people indie rock with a folk pizzazz.
I don't mean to inadvertently quote Billy Joel here, but it's all rock and roll.
Yeah, for sure. Man. Yeah, I agree. It's a lame question, but I feel like
it's a standard.
That's what people like to hear. They want to know kind of like where you guys like. I love, like, that's why I started doing the podcast anyways, because I wanted to let the music speak for itself. I wanted people to hear the songs and stuff. Like, I just want to be like, hey, I like this song, check it out, kind of thing. And I never really wanted to, like, box things in because, you know, obviously one song can be totally different from the next song on a record. You know, there's a lot of influences, a lot of variety and stuff. And
yeah, definitely.
So that's why
I don't like that, like, not that I don't like it, but try to shy away from those kind of, like, labels because I feel like that puts you in a box a little bit.
One of my favorite singer-songwriters is Will Hogue, and I've seen him a bunch of times. But one night, after he's gotten some recent success with Eli Young Band did one of his songs, Even If It Breaks Your Heart, and went number one on country radio.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so he's been having a lot of people asking him, like, well, you know, what about Will Hogue? Do you guys, because his early stuff was pretty rock and roll, like, you know, Bruce Springsteen type of Americana rock, and now he's kind of a little more country. And, you know, some people are asking him, like, well, are you guys country, or are you rock and roll, or what? And he goes, we just play Will Hogue music, you know, that's what, you know, so it's like, I thought that was just perfect, you know, like, it doesn't have to be labels, it just, you know, you guys are search parties, that's what it is, and...
Yeah, it was, so. Yeah, just like whatever we come up with.
Yeah.
And, if we don't like it, we're not going to, like, play it in front of people, right. So...
We might for, like, a second.
But yeah, there's definitely been probably a couple, I
guess. Do you write a lot of the lyrics, Elliot, or do you guys collaborate on this stuff, or...?
Predominantly, I do.
Yeah.
I'm open to other people doing
it. Not like
you can,
really
you can
open,
handle that.
It's like a little bit open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically I'll do like a skeleton of a song, like just like chords and a melody. Normally I don't even have words when I bring it to the guys. So I've been trying to do that more lately because I feel like that gets it going quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But normally I'll just sing gibberish while everybody's figuring their stuff out.
Sure.
Some of those gibberish words actually
sound like words. I always think they're words.
Well, they're words, but I don't. It's weird. They like just come out, and I don't know what they necessarily mean. Some of those stay in, and then some they don't.
That was actually I posted your picture online and asked if any fans had questions, and Sean of Brotherly and the Leather Jackals writes in and on how a song comes to fruition. So,
oh, okay.
So that's so this is how this is answering Sean's question.
That was for you, Sean.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sean.
Nice guy, Sean.
GS.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of Stern Show. It's a lot of the big influence for me starting this thing. And I enjoy his show, and I just kind of want to do my own sort of version. I don't want to be Howard Stern by any means, but
star in what was that movie?
The one where he's like bigger than buildings.
It's like a superhero, right?
No. What
am I thinking of?
They have like the complete. It's like basically like his life story.
Private Parts.
Private Parts. Yeah.
He's not a superhero. He just looks bigger than buildings.
Yeah. Why? I think he's just.
Because he looks like King Kong.
Well, he used to dress like Fart Man.
They were thinking of Fart Man.
Yeah.
That's a
weird tangent.
But speaking of the gibberish thing, I remember hearing an interview with Steven Tyler on there and like how writing a lot of his songs, and like he would have these just like random, you know, filler words. He would just say things because it fit inside the melody, and like, and then he would later on go and like kind of like break down what he was saying and try to make it, you know, put these words in there to fit and make it sound like something. But, you know, he would just kind of mumble along like that, like you're saying.
Yeah, that's definitely, I don't know if it's easier, if it's harder that way, because then sometimes I get like used to the gibberish words or the random phrases, and then they just stay in there.
Right. We mentioned we played a couple of tunes acoustic. We play Tangerine, right?
Yeah.
And those, Tangerine. Yeah. Any stories or anything behind that at all? Or
Elliot,
probably one or two, right?
A few.
Yeah. All right.
I don't really know how to articulate it.
Go ahead.
I think it speaks for itself, honestly. All
right.
Like they're not very metaphorical. Right. Lyrics, really. So if you just listen to it,
okay,
I think you understand what's going on.
And then we played,
Strange Women's
Tour. Yeah, there it is.
Long title.
Yeah.
Wait, backslash?
Yeah.
Sorry. Backslash in the middle of those.
What about that one? That one also pretty...
That one's just kind of a story, really. Not autobiographical, I guess.
So you're saying Tangerine was?
Shit, I was just out there. I don't know. That one's kind of about like.
You want to give me shout outs right now? Or Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't really know what that one's about. I mean, I'm terrible at like saying what their songs are about.
Yeah.
Trying to catch
Well, if I'm on there, people can figure it out.
Yeah,
make up.
That's what I'd rather just instead of I'd rather the mystery.
I don't even really like
own interpretation.
Yeah, I mean, not even necessarily like the like what the lyrics mean, but even when you guys recorded these songs or anything like that, if like any studio stuff or anything like that.
We did them at those two songs were on an album we put out like was that. Two years ago.
Two and a half years ago.
Recorded at Suburban Pro Studios with our buddy Carter.
Yeah.
Carter McKee. Those songs, I think at that time, were quite old.
Yeah.
Right?
A Tangerine was.
The other a couple of them were.
Yeah.
There were some new ones on there. We still play most of those live.
Yeah,
but it was fun.
Sure,
Spring Pro School.
So that's all. Those are available. The studio quality ones from that album are available on Bandcamp,
iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, all that stuff.
Yeah, so get yourself a copy of that. You guys are saying you guys are gearing up towards some new stuff?
Yeah, we recorded two songs. We try to release them as singles eventually. Maybe premiered one today.
Oh.
As far as other new stuff, we only recorded two at the moment. Mm-hmm. We got to get together and write some more stuff and hopefully have something out by like... Definitely have a single out in like within the month, I would say.
Yeah.
And then hopefully like start working on doing an album, whether that be an EP or full length, I don't know.
Yeah. I think I don't know. I think that's what's kind of cool about releasing music today, like the fact that people believe in the album still, and I'm one of those. I believe I'm a huge vinyl supporter and everything too. Like I love the artists that can put out a whole record and it's like it tells a story, the whole album or whatever, it's like it's a piece of work. But I also love the fact that like as independent musicians and things now, we can fire up and put out a 3-4 song EP or something, and you can do two a year or whatever and constantly kind of keep putting out fresh material like that instead of waiting to we got to make sure we get 10 12 songs or whatever together before.
Yeah, that's probably more likely what we'll end up doing.
Yeah,
I imagine.
Right.
It's just at this point where we're at, it's just easier to pump out, sure.
Not put all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly.
If you will.
The last one was confusing. That one was like 7 songs, so it's like EP, I guess.
Yeah. And then that's a nice thing too, is like you can kind of put these things out there digitally first and kind of help fund some of it, and then of course always go back and print physical copies or something too, and kind of supplement that cost and stuff. Like that's the part of the fun of dealing with all that fun stuff as being an independent artist and out there trying to do it. So
yeah, that's the other thing. It's a lot more cost effective to do an EP rather than a full length.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about all that stuff with like Spotify and things? I mean, do you guys believe in it just to get the word out there and stuff, or you guys don't really support it? Or
I feel like I do.
Yeah,
I support it totally, man. I like.
It's just so much entertainment now that you might as well just put it out there for free and then hope that somebody, sees it.
I would rather someone listen to it for free to decide if they like it, and then maybe they come to a show and like actually buy it or like
Because
that's a lot of times what I'll do is I have like Apple Music on my phone, so just access to anything. And if I like something, I'm like, oh, this guy's coming to town, I'm going to see him, and then I buy it.
Yeah.
That's
my argument on that. Like, a lot of people, really down on all the Spotify and things and streaming services and stuff because the fact that the royalties are so low for, for the artist. But like I said, I would love to see that. That graph, I mean, that's probably impossible to figure it out, but I would love to see the comparison and how many people listened for free and then actually went and bought it though afterwards. You know, it's like, or you know, like again, like you're saying, go to a show and bought it there at the table, and stuff like that. So, I think it's you know, it's like an investment. You know, it's like you're throwing it out there, but you hope that people eventually like it and support it. And
And I think nowadays it's just so easy to access it. Like, why would you not?
Sure.
Like, why would you? Like, I got it on my phone. Like, any song I'm thinking of, the second I can type it and listen to it.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy, man. I think about that too. Like, you know, like my iPod and stuff, and our, you know, our phones and everything. It's just crazy that I can take a what used to be a entire room full of records, you know, in the 70s, and I could put it in my pocket, you know, and whatever. It's like, it's just nuts to think about sometimes.
But I do enjoy, like, the at the risk of sounding ultra hipster, like the the tangible thing.
Yeah, being able to hold it.
Sure.
That's good. Like, yeah. It's worth paying for.
Yeah.
Like, just as the art as a whole, you know, like the liner notes and all that, like the album cover and everything.
Right. Yeah, some of that's kind of lost in digital with, people just don't put the effort into it anymore. But yeah, I most of the artists that I still support, you know, take the time to put liner notes and make album art and everything else. Like, it is a piece of, you know, work. You know, it's not just slap my name on the front of it and send it out.
There's even guys doing like crazy stuff with their albums. Like, Father John Misty wrote like an actual novel in his liner notes.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a big white page that you unfold, and it's like big old story. Huh. Basically. Like,
what I think that's another, like, the vinyl and stuff is like I think it was Jack White had some kind of like in the ultra deluxe version or whatever.
Yeah, where it had like the angel,
hologram.
Yeah, when you like have it spin,
spins it. Yeah.
Like, that's nuts to like the.
He also like about. He did so much with that. Like,
all right.
You can play it backwards.
Yeah. No. What was it, like, one side of it was, it was flat-sided, like the old vinyl,
yeah,
I think, or he did a bunch of different stuff with that.
Right.
That
yeah, it was, and he charged, like, $20.
Right, it was, like, the same as everything else. But.
He's got to figure it out.
Right. But, yeah, that, I mean, obviously, you don't get that with an MP3, you know? So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Father John Misty, I heard some story about him. Like, you know, everybody wants to record all these shows on their phones and stuff now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's like the big thing at the shows. And the story I heard is like he brought in like a cardboard cutout thing of an iPhone and like dropped it in front of him while he played on stage and stuff. So like he's like, everybody wants to, you know, see the show through their phone, so I'm going to make it easier for everybody. You know,
I've seen him a few times.
Yeah,
he,
the last show he played tour. In St. Louis.
He's like the St. Louis one, or is it the one?
It was the St. Louis one.
But like then we saw him in Nashville. He basically behind the stage just had like a giant heart, like neon heart that said no photography.
Yeah,
and
the one here he played at the pageant, he like freaked out in the crowd.
No, it was the one at Fox. He freaked out on John Lugie. Shout out to John Lugie.
Yeah.
Right? Remember? You heard that story?
No, yeah. I heard that.
I can't remember the story, but apparently, like, he was sitting pretty close and, like, he made, like, a speech about not taking pictures or something, and a buddy of ours, like, took a picture of him, and he, like, called him out. And, like, I don't think he was
that
or anything.
No, I'm talking we saw the one at the pageant where he, like, freaked out on, like, I guess us, technically, like, the whole crowd. It's like a full-on dick. It's bad.
Yeah. Was that there?
You were there.
I don't remember.
Set up in like the upstairs. I don't know. We won't go on that tangent.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw him at Fox with the Alabama Shake.
Yeah, that show. Supposedly.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I sonically, I guess, I thought he sounded really good. I don't know if I really get like him, though.
I saw him for the first time like 3 years ago at the Firebird.
Yeah, I saw him at Firebird.
And that blew my mind. I didn't even know who he was. A week before,
that,
somebody was like...
that as merch.
Yeah. This
weird poster you have on the wall.
But seeing him at like the Firebird,
that show was
insane. Like, sure. Just because it was just so close, and like I didn't know who he was. Yeah. It was like a week before, and somebody's like, "Yeah, check him out." And I was like, "Oh, it's so good."
And now, like his like stage setup is a lot more like minimal. Like he has like the sign, he just has his band. When we saw him Firebird, he just had like basically that as like a background.
He had disco balls.
His disco balls, like a whole bunch of crap on stage, and he came out in like a white like jumpsuit and.
Yeah,
it
was a thing. He's a character.
I saw, I have that similar feeling towards Chris Stapleton. I saw him at the Firebird. Like, right before all CMA awards and all that stuff, and before his career really took off.
I made it to the last song at that show.
Yeah. And that was something really special to see. I mean, I've been a fan of his for a long time before all that. I love his writing, but to see him in a small club, and then I'm like, it was sold out that night. But I'm like, I knew going in there, I was like, this is the last time he's ever going to play a club. Like that Traveler record came out, and I was like,
you're never going to get that close without paying hundreds of dollars.
It's like what 6 months later he was on like what was that the Grammys with Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, it was just it was the CMAs or whatever. CMAs, yeah. And then, like, it was only, like, a couple months. And then, like, and now he's, headlining theaters by himself. And then Lou Fest coming up, yeah. So, yeah, his career, like, skyrocketed.
Yeah, my boss, like, went down to Memphis in May for this, like, barbecue thing. And I guess he was playing in Mississippi that weekend. And my boss, like, drove Mississippi to see him. And I was really jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's something about that stage show with that guy, like, that he plays with his wife up there also.
Yeah.
And, like, they, like, sit there and stare at each other the whole time. And it's just, like, I don't know, it's that Johnny and June kind of thing or whatever. You know, it's like there's something unspoken connection between those two when they sing together. And, you know, they just feed off of each other. And
he's so, like, I'm a little bit of a country guy myself. And he's so, like, genuine.
Yeah.
Like, as opposed to, like... 90% of what you hear on the country radio.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I like it all. I like a little... I like country. I like rock. I like some hip-hop. I like blues. So I'm all over the place with my music.
Yeah, me too.
So I think that's... I think it's good. I wish more people were a little more open-minded to... because we have a lot of it represented here in St. Louis. That's what a lot of what I love about the city and the music is that we have such a... eclectic blend of music and food and everything. There's just a lot going on in all over St. Louis. So.
Oh, yeah, totally. Sure.
Yep. You guys recall your first show as Search Parties?
I do actually know our first show.
I know when it was.
December 11th, 2012.
No, I'm not counting that.
No,
it was like a pre-band show.
That was a pre-band show. I wouldn't count that. That was just.
The initial, like, us getting together was me playing this acoustic show, and I had, like, some songs by myself.
I guess that would have been the first show.
And I asked the four of them to, like, be my backing band, basically. There was another thing, like, I talked with the guy booking the show beforehand, and I was like, hey, like, is it cool to have a backing band? It's mostly an acoustic show. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. Then I get there, and, like, nobody knew that I had a backing band. They were like, wanted us to go first, and I was like, what? That doesn't make a lot of sense if we gotta like tear down and stuff. Like, so it ended up being like a whole thing, but I wouldn't count. The first one was at like Foam with the Jackals. And
okay. The show was with the Jackals?
Yeah. It was on that Foam with the Jackals.
I remember that, yeah.
Who else? Okay, that was the night Jared fell off the stage at Foam. I don't know if you've been to Foam.
Yeah.
It's about
the 6-inch stage.
Yeah.
I fell off. That's about all I remember because I was a little.
Okay.
We'll say under the weather.
Yeah. That'll happen.
Yeah. Every once in a while you get sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once in a while you drink like 8 beers, you get sick. Yeah.
Sure.
Who knew?
Trying to keep this for the children.
Yeah.
8
Pedialyte.
Dr. Peppers.
I still, don't worry, we'll overdub it with root beers.
This is a completely
root
different beer. amongst some other things, but
yeah,
it was fun.
Do you guys have a particular spot you really enjoy playing in town?
For me, it's in between Firebird.
You used to be the Firebird for
and
me
off
too.
Broadway.
Yeah. I think Off Broadway has taken over for me too.
Off Broadway is the
I really liked the Gramophone before it
sure,
became
yeah.
the same
oh,
restaurant
yeah,
spot, which I still appreciate. I like what it's become, but I like the spot.
Yeah,
as a
now we played like one of their last shows. I'm not, and again, I had like too many Dr. Peppers. And you remember that? I ranted on stage about that this was closing and they weren't doing music anymore. And
yeah.
Said
you
might have
done
nice
like a whole
things.
12 pack by yourself.
Said some not nice things about the owner, which I regret.
I actually don't.
Kind of
that.
Not really.
Was that the show that we played with? What's his face?
Oh, yeah, we played with a dude from Rowan Gardner.
Yeah. American Pie.
Yeah.
The nondescriptive friend from American Pie. He is a
and
band.
Like in that Ricky
Mirror
movie.
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
He's like a
what
nice guy, pretty much a douchebag though.
Tom. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember playing and I remember saying like I'm sure I wanted so bad to yell Rowan Gardner. And I was like, I'm sure he gets it a lot,
sure.
So I'm not going to be that guy to him.
I heard him on another podcast, and he was saying how like he gets funky butt loving all the time.
Funky butt, yeah.
But he doesn't even say that. That's not even his line in the movie. But he
it's the doctor. He
yeah,
hits him
right.
in the face.
But that's I thought that was funny that's like everybody says funky butt loving to him.
Funky butt loving. So. No, but yeah, I was going to yell Rowan Gardner.
Yeah.
Or Rosenberger. I was at him. And I was like, I'm not that guy. And then, like, he said, like, 5 or 6 times on stage, like, referenced his acting career. And I was like, oh, okay.
He started off the set by saying there was not a theme song to American Pie, but if it was, it'd be this. I forget what song
it was.
It was
This Bed Is On Fire.
Matthew Sweet? Or
yeah. So he played that song, and I was just like, okay, he's... doesn't care. And then he mentioned it like 8 or 9 more times during his like 30-minute set. All right. I was like, okay.
That's all he got.
He's nice. He let me use his guitar, so.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Shout out.
That place was cool. I liked Plush a lot.
Yeah.
I only played there one time.
I saw Jason Isbell at Plush.
Well, yeah.
With Amanda Showers, and that was a lot of fun.
Plus, should have been better.
Or Robert Ellis opened, I believe. Yeah.
I also saw Pauly Shore there.
Doing what?
Comedy. Stand up.
Singing.
The Blue Song.
They need Tower of Cheese.
I can't remember who I've only seen a couple shows there. I saw Cursive and Minus the Bear.
Oh, I saw, yeah.
I was with you.
Whenever we saw our keyboardist is, he has a twin brother.
Yeah.
And at the time, I wasn't really close to him, so I didn't really know the difference, and I thought it was him.
Yeah. Same thing happened to me. Like we were standing in line, and at this point, he was not in our band. He was, again, he was in the band with Danny and Chris, so we just kind of knew him.
Right.
And I see him sitting inside a Plush, and I'm waiting in line, and I said, I was like, what's up, Dylan? And he's just like, giving this look like he didn't know who I was. And I was like, wow, what's his problem? And then like two minutes later, Dylan comes walking around the corner outside, and I was like, he's like, what's up, guys? And I was like,
how are you inside?
Are you just inside? And then I found out that they found out he had a twin brother, and blew my mind.
Yeah.
And then at Dylan's bachelor party, you like...
I knew I was gonna confuse him. I told him earlier in the night, I was like, I'm gonna confuse you. That's pretty much search parties.
Yeah.
Confusion?
All right.
Confusion. Twins and Confusion.
Right. That's the name of the next record right there.
Twins
and Confusion.
Twins.
What? And calling, and then Alex calling you from American Pie douchebag on the podcast. He was, though, so.
Yeah. That's you know, I don't know. That's it's kind of always a weird thing. Like, not that he's like one of your guys,
a celebrity,
heroes or whatever. But it is always that kind of weird thing when you meet famous people and like somebody you really respect and idolize or whatever. Not like I said again, not that that was the case, but I mean, like when you meet those people and they act like that, like that's always a real you know, real bummer. Like I met a lot of people that I really admire and like, and most of them have been super cool, which is always great. But yeah, you get those guys that kind of got that Hollywood attitude about everything, and they kind of give you a cold shoulder or whatever, and they don't want to be bothered or whatever. It's just like, I don't know. That's got to be rough when you get that popular where you bothered by your fans or whatever.
Yeah, like
child actors.
Yeah.
I'm sure Pauly Shore is well adjusted, though.
Well, with Pauly, I don't know, it was strange. He like he met everybody, you know. He hung out, did a meet and greet and stuff. Didn't charge $20 or whatever like some people do.
Yeah.
So he was hanging out, but what I thought was weird is like he did this like you know, they had like those sofas that plush on the bar side.
Yeah.
Like he put a sofa there and like stood behind it. And then everybody that came up to, you know, say hi or whatever, get a picture and things, they all had to sit on the sofa in front of them. So I took a picture with him, and I got him to sign my copy of Biodome. and then he, but the picture looks like he's like photobombing my picture, you know, like because he's just, I'm sitting on a couch and Paulie's just standing right behind me. So it's like, it's just a weird.
By yourself.
Yeah.
This is like alone?
Yeah, it's just me on a couch smiling, and then like Paulie's like, you know, standing behind me and waving, and I'm just like,
that would be kind of
weird. Yeah,
that's strange,
but it was fun. So, like I said, I have my autographed copy of Biodome on DVD. If anybody wants to make an offer on that, so
I'm good actually.
Yeah. what if it was Son-in-Law?
Son-in-Law is more passive. All right. Or Encino Man's good.
Yeah,
Biodome's just
terrible. Wheezing the juice.
Oh yeah.
We tried to watch it the other day. We were in a few in here when we were watching it.
Yeah, Son-in-Law is the shit.
Son-in-Law's awesome.
Yeah. Plus Tiffany Amber Thiessen, so.
Totally.
I mean, that's all you gotta say.
Plus, plus.
Well, yeah, you guys, we talked about potentially debuting a Rock Paper Podcast exclusive here.
Yeah, definitely.
You guys... want to do that?
Yeah, sure. Put it on.
So what's this? What's what we got?
It's a new track. Like I said earlier, we recorded two as singles, and this one is called Fever Dream.
Okay. And you, where'd you do this one at?
I don't know if the studio has a name. Our buddy Frankie Muriel is in the band Dr. Chavez.
Yeah, sure.
He has a studio over in like the hill.
I feel like it's,
and we did it there. I don't know if it has a thing.
Yeah, it's not really a studio. It's just kind of like a private thing.
It's kind of like, it's in this, like, just,
I think it's just like a number or whatever, like the street address. We'll keep that under
wraps. Right. Yeah.
But that was fun.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Studios.
Yeah.
Super nice.
Real nice.
All right.
Real nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I, you ever see, King of the Hill at all? Like, his previous band?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the team.
Yeah, Frankie's old band.
No, that was before my time.
Yeah, well, I'm friendly with Jimmy Griffin.
Okay, yeah.
And George Pazos, and they used to play with Frankie and King of the Hill. And I went back, and they're on YouTube.
Yeah,
the videos, the music videos, and stuff. But they,
oh, we did. Yeah, we did.
Oh no, yeah, we kind of looked into it.
All
right, right before, like, yeah, because it was Danny was the person that kind of hooked us up with him.
Yeah.
And like, I was curious.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're fun. I mean, like,
yeah,
you know, just to see that, see those guys.
80s
hair metal. The big hair.
Yeah.
They're getting it for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that some serious talent in that band. Like I said, Jimmy and George become, like I said, I haven't really officially met Frankie yet, so I need to, but
yeah, I mean, I knew Jimmy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know him. I knew who he was
before I
met Frankie, and then Frankie told me all that stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Jimmy's been on the show. We sat at Killer Vintage Guitars
and
recorded one, and that was pretty awesome.
They fixed my amp before. Shout out to Killer Vintage.
Yeah, that's a wild place, man. Just especially if you're into gear.
Yeah, like, who was in there? Some famous guy was in there recently.
Jason Isbell.
Oh, Jason Isbell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just nice. When he...
He bought some sort of...
Did he play at Fox recently, or...?
That was like, yeah.
Peabody?
Like,
or, oh, Peabody.
Valentine's Day, I think, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he went in to kill advantage.
Yeah. Man. He, Jimmy was telling me some stories about, like, you know, Keith Urban and Billy Gibbons and... you know, just the list goes on of these guys that have come in there, and then,
oh, yeah, sure.
And then, like he said, something told me a story about putting some. They found some, you know, 1950s amp or whatever it was somewhere on online on a sale or some kind of deal, and whatever it was, but they put it up online to sell it, and they got a call from Peter Frampton like right away, and Peter's like, yeah, I'd like to buy that amp, and you know, they're like, you know, just.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be weird. Yeah. Like, oh, who is this? Oh, yeah. It's Peter Frampton.
Yeah. No, like,
who is this? Yeah, like, right. Can you tell me who this is?
So. Yeah. just talk boxing the whole conversation.
That's a prep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool. All right. Well, we'll throw on some brand new Search Parties for you. What'd you say? Oh, sorry. I forgot the name.
It's already. A Fever Dream.
Fever Dream.
Yeah.
And then keep an eye out for that. I guess you guys, I'm sure, will... be digitally posted. You can purchase it shortly, hopefully.
We're going to do that one and try to do like a video, hopefully, for like the main single called Wild Ones, I guess.
Yeah.
It's definitely the more catchy one, but
okay.
I think we're going to save that for our own thing.
Yeah.
No offense.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know why I said no.
Yeah. What? This bullshit.
We're giving you like the shittiest song.
Hey, it's a shittier song. If you like songs, this one's shitty.
Right? I actually think I like Fever Dream more.
Yeah.
Wait, we should save that one then.
We've already talked it up, man. We gotta do it.
Alright. Alright, guys. Almost got out here without saying. But you guys will be people come see you at the Bootleg at Atomic Cowboy. July 30th.
Correct.
As part of Jackalfest. First annual Jackalfest. $10 will get you in the door. And
like 20 bands.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. So
wild. I'm pretty sure they're blocking off the street out front. So Danny's got some stuff cooked up.
Like the city is going to block it off, or they're just going to personally block it off?
No, they're just going to have Danny just lay down in the middle of the street. Josh will take like the other end. And then when they play, they'll switch. Yeah. They'll have somebody else come in. Like,
yeah.
I don't, I'll volunteer.
Car.
Yeah. Game on. Show on.
Yeah.
Show on.
Yeah, that'll be fun, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's fun to see our buddies. Manus Brothers has been doing their Whiskey War Festival stuff. And. You know, and then now we got a Jackal Fest and things. So I love that these guys are putting together these big shows, and just another excuse to hang out with buddies all day. And
yeah, definitely.
So
coming soon, Search Party at Palooza.
Yeah, here we go. Let's make it happen.
Maybe.
Don't look out for us.
Yeah. We got to workshop the name first.
Yeah.
Focus
groups.
A lot of double mirror stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you missed the obvious one, the Search Party.
Oh. Yeah.
It's like a block party.
Nah, that sounds lame. That's not a good name.
We'll cut that out. Don't worry.
Like 50% of everything else.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate you. It's been a lot of fun getting to hang out, get to know you guys a little better. And but yeah, come out again, July 30th, Jackal Fest. The Grove at Bootleg at Atomic Cowboy. And keep an eye out for some new tunes coming soon.
Yeah.
And here's Fever Dream right now.
We were heading to a party with a sack of plastic baggies and a scale.
from my bounds, accompanied by the sweetest of sounds. But I wait all night for just one reply. When it comes, I just can't decide. 'Cause I felt enough trying to gain back some trust. Eventually, we'll figure out a way. I grit my teeth at the words that I speak, 'cause they taste so bitter.